check? Oh, it's on. Thank you. Hey, let's turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark 11, verse 12 to 24. Mark 11, verse 12 to 24. PSAM is picking up a speaker, right, this morning. So Pastor Sam is picking up who? RT? Bobby Connor? Bobby Connor. So that's why he can't make it this morning, but it's exciting. A retreat is happening soon. Mark 11, verse 12. On the next day, when they had left Bethany, he became hungry. Seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he would not permit anyone to carry merchandise through the temple. And he began to teach and say to them, Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a robber's den." The chief priests and the scribes heard this and began seeking how to destroy him, for they were afraid of him, for the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. When evening came, they would go out of the city. As they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Being reminded, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power. Thank you that you reign, that you are sovereign, and we want to hear your voice. We want to meet with you, and we give this EMP to you, God. Come and speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I wanted to share from this passage today because this week is actually Holy Week, which is the week that's leading up to Easter Sunday. And so typically what we do at church during this time is we get together Monday through Friday, and we usually do a fast, and we also meet in the evenings for prayer. But this year, because of the retreat coming up, we're not doing that. But as I was kind of praying about EMP yesterday and thinking about what to share, I was reminded that this is Holy Week, and I thought, why don't we go back to what happened on Tuesday before Jesus went up on the cross on Sunday. And so what happens on Tuesday, that week leading up to his crucifixion, is this story. He goes and he curses the fig tree, and then he goes into the temple, and there's the cleansing of the temple. So that's what happens on Tuesday. And so I just wanted to share a little bit of teaching from this story. Have you guys ever wondered? So it says, I've always wondered. It says in verse 13, "He found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs." So he goes to this fig tree, and it's not the season for figs. So it's supposed to not have figs and only have leaves, but Jesus goes to it, and then kind of gets a little, from my initial reading of it, it's like Jesus gets a little annoyed and says to this tree, "Curse you, die," right? No one eat from you again. And then he goes on, and then we find that the tree had withered. And I always thought, isn't that a little unfair to the tree? You know, poor fig tree. It wasn't his fault or her fault. You know, it wasn't the season for figs. And so, I mean, I've always wondered it. And the interpretation of this text is that Jesus is using the fig tree as like an object lesson, right? So the way the story has been juxtaposed is you have Jesus going to the fig tree, cursing the tree, seeing that there is no fruit, and then he goes into the temple, and there's the cleansing of the temple where he rebukes kind of what it has become, the Jewish temple system, the ritual system. And then we find out that the tree had withered. And, I mean, I had learned this before, but not until today was I able to fully kind of understand why, hey, what's going on. So let me try and explain. So what's happening, the conventional interpretation of the story is that Jesus is using the fig tree as a metaphor for Israel, right? So the fig tree, and there's many times in the Old Testament, in the prophets, where they talk about God looking for fruit from a fig tree, and it refers to Israel and their disobedience and their rebellion against God. So Jesus is kind of going along with that, and he's using the fig tree as this example of it has all these leaves, meaning it appears to be a tree that has life. It appears to be a tree that has resemblance, you know, of a living tree, of a fruitful tree, but there is no fruit on it. And so he curses the tree. And so what he's teaching us from that is what I believe, because he says in verse 14, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. So I believe what Jesus, because then the next story is the temple, and he kind of cleans out the temple. He overturns the tables, basically rebuking what the temple had become. And so Jesus is rebuking and kind of saying the Jewish system that was supposed to bear fruit. They were supposed to be the people of God that were going to be a blessing to all the nations around them, but they had failed. They resembled being the chosen people of God. They had all these systems, the rituals, the rules, and everything else. And they had the appearance of being godly. They had the appearance of being connected to God, being a people of God, but they couldn't bear any fruit. And so Jesus says, may you never bear fruit again. What he's saying, in a sense, is he's saying, this system is no longer going to be used. The system is no longer going to be effective, and Jesus begins a new, you know, we know Jesus kind of inaugurates a new covenant with us by dying on the cross for us. So that's kind of the object lesson. So he's looking at the fig tree, and he sees that, and he's using that as a metaphor for what Israel, the people of God, had become. Just only having the appearance of godliness, only having the appearance of being a people of God, but not bearing any fruit. So, just to answer that question of, isn't it unfair for the tree? So what we have to understand is Jesus wasn't going to the fig tree first because he was hungry, and then he got angry, and then he cursed the tree, and then thought about using that as an example and a teaching lesson. Jesus goes to the tree with all of that in mind. That's what we have to understand. So Jesus knows it's not the season for figs, but he knows what he is about to do in the temple. And so he wants to teach the disciples using the tree as a metaphor. So all of that is already in his mind. So he's not judging the tree. The tree is merely an illustration, right? So Jesus is not being unfair to the tree, right? Jesus is not just reacting in anger. He has all of that in mind already, And so he goes to the tree knowing that the fig tree is not going to have any fruit, because he wants to use that as a teaching lesson for Israel. Okay, so hopefully that makes sense, that Jesus isn't just being flippant. He's not just being annoyed or pissed off at the tree. So what's the lesson for us is, I think we can easily tie it into our lives and say, do we have just the appearance of godliness, but we're not bearing any fruit? Just like the Jewish nation at the time, they were supposed to be the people of God, and they had the appearance of being a people of God. They had the temple system, right? They had all these sacrifices. They had all these rules and regulations, and they were, in a legalistic way, they were fulfilling all these requirements, but they didn't have that faith in the Messiah, right? They didn't have that understanding that Jesus was the Messiah. They didn't have that that humility, that heart of mercy and kindness. And so in our lives, do we have merely an appearance of godliness? Paul says that, I forget which passage, but he says, in this generation, there's going to be people that have the mere appearance of godliness, but they lack the power of it. So in our lives, do we just do church? You know, we come to church on Sunday, we go to house church, and we do all the right things. We do our prayers, we sing these songs, we lift our hands, but at the core of who we are, are we really connected to God, and do we bear fruit in our lives? So that's kind of the first point I want to make. Very simple for us to kind of consider. But when I was reading this, so that's the conventional interpretation and teaching of this passage. But there is also, when you read the scriptures, this is what you want to do. You want to make sure that you exegete the text carefully. You consult study Bibles and commentaries to figure out what is the text actually teaching us. And that's how we should read the Bible. But sometimes when you read the scriptures, sometimes God will just highlight certain scriptures and kind of speak to you in more a personal and devotional way. And so both are okay. But I believe the first way is more important, because that's being true to scripture. That's using good exegetical skills to kind of make sure we get the original meaning of the text. But the second way is also helpful. Sometimes when you read something and something just jumps out at you, and it may not be what was really written in the original context, but God kind of speaks through that. And so what happened to me was, I was reading this passage, and I came across this passage right around the time where there was a student that had jumped off of Times Square, right? He committed suicide. And there were lots of youth suicides that were happening. And I think a few, or maybe a day or two after that, there was another student that had committed suicide. And I came across this passage, and the Lord kind of just highlighted something. Because in the bottom of that passage, Jesus says, and I'm sure we've heard this many times, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you." And I never connected that to the earlier story of the fig tree, but Jesus connects this teaching to the fig tree. And so the kind of prayer that Jesus is talking about is this cursing of the fig tree. And when I was reading that, God began to kind of speak to me that there are certain things in our lives that need to be cursed so that these things will not bear fruit. And so he began to kind of speak to me about cursing. I mean, just, it's the metaphor, but the tree, cursing the tree of suicide. Student suicide, and whatever you call it, the spirit of suicide. And I understand that's dangerous. Right? I mean, you're like engaging in multiple spiritual level battles, and I might not want to mess around with it. I mean, I made sure I prayed against backlash. I'm looking at Rachel because she's our inner healing deliverance leader. So I made sure, I was a little bit scared. I was like, can I really pray against like the spirit of suicide and curse it over Hong Kong? I wasn't sure. But I prayed for protection, and then I started cursing it. I was like, yeah, Lord. Just like Jesus cursed the fig tree, and it bore no fruit. It withered. From the roots up, it withered and died. And so I felt like, man, there are some certain things in our lives we need to rebuke and curse. I think maybe a week after that, a bunch of youth pastors got together, and we prayed for the situation in Hong Kong, and I shared this little revelation I had, and then we cursed again. I made sure I prayed against backlash, you know, I prayed for protection, but we did it. I mean, for what it's worth, since those times, we haven't heard any story another suicide, but I mean, obviously, that's something we have to continue to work toward and pray for. But let's translate that into our lives. I think there are many things that happen in our lives where sometimes we just let it happen, and we don't recognize that we need to be cursing them in a way and saying, in the name of Jesus, I command you to not bear any fruit in my life. In the lives of our church. Tell you a funny story. This is right after Charles Kraft came, and he kind of spoke about the authority we have as believers, that we can bless and curse certain things, right? And we have such power in that. And at this point, I was living with my brother. We're living right above Lan Kwai Fong, and kind of across from our place, very near us, this new bar opened up. And it was stinking noisy all the time, especially late at night. And we could hear everything. It was so noisy, and it was keeping us up. And so I just began to curse the bar. I cursed the bar itself, not the people, right? I blessed the people, but I said, Lord, let this bar close down, right? This is not good. This not, you know. And the bar closed down, like not very long after. So I'm just giving you an example of like cursing something, but let's just think in your lives, what's going on? Like, especially this week and last week, leading up to the retreat, there's been so much attack, especially on the staff, but I'm sure amongst the church members too. And the attack comes sometimes in physical forms. You know, it's like a sickness that happens. Last night, Joel, my son, he woke up at 3:50 with high fever, and he was coughing, and he's got this runny nose, and so Mon's staying with him right now. Rachel's son, Jacob, was also ill just a few days ago, and a few of our church staff members, they're not here this morning because they have certain ailments, right? They have fever, or their stomach's bad, or their knee is hurting. All these things are happening, and so I feel like, man, I think we need to curse whatever this is and say, you're not going to bear fruit, right? You're not going to bear fruit, and you're not going to keep us, you know, you're not going to intimidate us in the name of Jesus, you know? We need to really pray against some of these things, I think, that are happening. I think maybe because through these physical ailments, what the enemy wants to do is maybe put fear in our hearts, you know? Intimidation in our hearts, or distraction, or frustration. And we don't want those things to bear fruit, right? Because when fear and intimidation or frustration and distraction, when those things bear fruit, then we don't step out in faith, you know, to really walk out what God is calling us to do. Or maybe we just get so distracted, so we miss out on what the Lord wants to do. So, you know, just in your own life, are there things that, just like the fig tree, that Jesus says, may no one eat fruit from you again, right? May you never bear any more fruit. Are there things in your lives where you have to say that to something, right? Whether it's insecurity or, I don't know, you know in your own heart what's going on, right? But let's pray this morning, let's pray for the church. You know, let's pray for our church and for the staff and say, hey, in Jesus' name, if it's a spirit of infirmity, I command you, you know, I curse. Can we do that, Rachel? Can we curse the spirit of infirmity? Yeah? Okay. She said yes. So we curse the spirit of infirmity and say, in the name of Jesus, you're not going to bear fruit in our community, in our church, in our staff members, especially leading up to the retreat. We command the spirit of fear, spirit of timidity. You're not going to bear fruit. You're not going to keep us from moving out and stepping out in faith. We curse the spirit of distraction. Is that a spirit? Spirit of distraction? Anything I name, okay. We'll talk about that. I don't really understand. I'm not really a deliverance, inner healing person, but sometimes, whatever the demonic spirit is doing, we curse that. We curse the distraction and say, no, you're not going to bear fruit. You're not going to keep us so distracted on all the logistical things that we miss out on what God wants to do. We miss out on spending time with Jesus. You know, so let's pray. Pastor Andrew is going to lead us in a song. Thank you, God. Let's first just take a short moment just to meditate on the first teaching on our lives, God, do we just have the form of godliness? Do we really walk in bearing fruit? Nor do we just have the form of going to church and doing all the right things, the appearance of doing all the right things. So let's just pray a little bit about that, and then we'll intercede for the church together. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray together. Let's go to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters, their family members that are struggling with cancer or going through chemotherapy, radiotherapy. Let's pray for God's healing to come upon them in Jesus' name. Let's go to the next one. Let's pray for those that are ill but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for God's power and His mercy to be released upon our friends on this list. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for various infirmities that our church members are going through. Let's pray for healing for our community. Go to the fourth slide. Pray for those of us that are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision and God's leading for our church family. Let's go to Tuesday. Let's pray for the for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government. Pray for Carrie Lam and the new government, and just for God's grace over the government to be able to lead this country well, to this city well. Let's pray against the wealth gap. Let's pray for revival. Let's pray for the churches and all the different ministries that are listed there, for God's anointing and provision. Let's continue to pray for the young people of Hong Kong, that they will not resort to suicide, but that they would find their hope in Jesus Christ. So let's pray for these things. Let's pray for our city. Let's pray for the staff. As I have mentioned during the message, there's a lot of us that are quite sick, doing better now, but just the last few days it's been pretty bad, and the children are getting sick. So let's just pray for the staff. Let's pray for protection. Let's pray for healing. Let's curse the sickness and the fever and the infirmity that is amongst the staff, so that we can be fully ready for the retreat. So let's pray for the staff. Let's pray for our hospitality ministry, welcoming and barista. Pray for Pastor Andrew and Ash as they lead. And let's pray for just great servants, great volunteers, and that they would be so effective in welcoming people and helping people feel loved and accepted here at SP. Let's pray for the worship and sound team and the AV team. Let's pray for a heart of worship and a heart, a pursuit for excellence. And let's pray that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will be upon this ministry, so that the church will be so blessed. You know, they will be able to connect with the presence of God through our times of musical worship. So let's pray for these ministries. Let's pray for the house churches meeting today. Let's pray for a really great time of discussion and sharing and praying for one another. This is the last house church before retreat, so let's pray that they will be able to get ready well together in house church. And can we stand for the last topic? Let's stand together. We have to really curse some of these things, yeah? Like we've talked about. Really speak against infirmity and different sicknesses. It's not just the staff either. I know at least two other people that have random things that's happening to them that's quite serious. And so let's pray for God's healing to come. Let's say, infirmity and sickness, you're not going to bear fruit in our church. And that's also tied to that is, you know, let's pray against this worrying and a fearful heart, right? Let's pray against the spirit of worry or spirit of fear that these things will not bear fruit, that people will be, you know, too worried about the health or whatever, the well-being of their children or their spouses, and they don't come to retreat, that we say these things will not bear fruit. And let's pray against distraction, you know, that distraction will not bear fruit, so that people will be able to, like Mary, right? She wasn't distracted by everything that needed to happen. She sat at the feet of Jesus and she met with him. So let's pray that distraction will not bear fruit in our staff, in our church members, and whatever else comes to your mind. But let's intercede for the retreat. There's a lot of attacks. Let's really pray for protection and pray for faith to rise up in our church. Let's pray. Yeah, Father God, we thank you. We just want to say no to the things that the enemy is trying to do in our church, God, especially leading up to the retreat, God, the different attacks that are coming, the sicknesses, the distractions, the fear, the intimidation, the worry. God, we say in the name of Jesus, we curse these things and we say to them, you will not bear fruit in our church. And we thank you, God, for your love and your protection. I pray against any backlash, God, as we pray for these things. We pray against any backlash. I pray for your protection and covering, the covering of the blood of Jesus over each person that is standing here and praying today. And we thank you for that, God. And Lord, we want to continue to pursue you. We want to be preparing ourselves, positioning ourselves for an encounter this weekend, God. Help us to consecrate our hearts, God. Help us to be in alignment with Pastor Sam, God, and the message that he gave on Sunday, Lord, that we would position ourselves. Help us to humble ourselves, God, in this time. And so we are excited, and we thank you for what you're doing. We worship, and we praise you. We trust in you. God, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys. bless you and have a great day today, and we'll see you tomorrow.